Those who are not taking advantage of the seats, we invite you to. Let you sit. Thank you. This is Bhagavad Gita's chapter 1, text 32 through 35. Kim no rajin bodhanda, kim ho garjitinava, yeshamarte kanchitam no, rajan ho gasukanicha, ta ime vasita yupe, kanams chakra tananicha, acharya pitara putras, Tatavacha pitamaha, matula svashugatavacha, syala sambandhinastata, etan mahantam ichchami, natopi madhusudana, api trilokya rajasya, eto kemu mahikrite, nihatya dhartarastvamha, ta priti sajjanardana. O Govinda, of what avail to us our kingdom, happiness, or even life itself, when all those for whom we may desire them are now arrayed on this battlefield? O Madhusudana, when teachers, fathers, sons, grandfathers, maternal uncles, fathers-in-law, grandsons, brothers-in-law, and other relatives are ready to give up their lives and properties and are standing before me, why should I wish to kill them, even though they might otherwise kill me? O maintainer of all living entities, I am not prepared to fight with them, even in exchange for three worlds, let alone this earth. What pleasure will we derive from killing the sons of your Rajya? Purport. Arjuna has addressed Lord Krishna as Govinda, because Krishna is the object of all pleasures, the cows and the senses. By using this significant word, Arjuna indicates that Krishna should understand what will satisfy Arjuna's senses. But Govinda is not meant for satisfying our senses. If we try to satisfy the senses of Govinda, however, then automatically our own senses are satisfied. Materially, everyone wants to satisfy his senses, and he wants God to be the order supplier for such satisfaction. The Lord will satisfy the senses of the living entities as much as they deserve, but not to the extent that they may covet. But when one takes the opposite way,
namely, when one tries to satisfy the senses of Govinda without desiring to satisfy one's own senses, then, by the grace of Govinda, all desires of the living entity are satisfied. Arjuna's deep affection for community and family members is exhibited here partly due to his natural compassion for them. He is therefore not prepared to fight. Everyone wants to show his opulence to friends and relatives, but Arjuna fears that all his relatives and friends will be killed on the battlefield, and he will be unable to share his opulence after victory. This is a typical calculation in material life. The transcendental life, however, is different. Since a devotee wants to satisfy the desires of the Lord, he can, Lord willing, accept all kinds of opulence for the service of the Lord. And if the Lord is not willing, he should not accept a farthing. Arjuna did not want to kill his relatives, and if there were any need to kill them, he desired that Krishna kill them personally. At this point, he did not know that Krishna had already killed them before their coming into the battlefield, and that he was only to become an instrument for Krishna. This fact is disclosed in following chapters. As a natural devotee of the Lord, Arjuna did not like to retaliate against his miscreant cousins and brothers, but it was the Lord's plan that they should all be killed. The devotee of the Lord does not retaliate against the wrongdoer, but the Lord does not tolerate any mischief done to the devotee by the miscreants. The Lord can excuse a person on his own account, but he excuses no one who has done harm to his devotees. Therefore, the Lord was determined to kill the miscreants, although Arjuna wanted to excuse them. Om Agyanti Vantasya Janamjana Shalakaya Chakshur Nidhitam Dina Tasmai Shri Gurudeva Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Bhutam Kodamaityam Tathati Chakodantikam Bhante Vam Shri Guru Shri Gitala
What kind of boga will I get out of this?
Arjuna very much appreciated. Many readers of Bhagavad Gita read the first chapter, and there at once on our human society, maybe practically every reader, at the end of the first chapter, our dreams' arguments are so noble, so self-sacrificing, so compassionate, that who would not side with our dream? Except Krishna. As we find later in the second chapter, Krishna says these arguments are very good, except that they're no good. But they seem very fine. But here Sri Prabhupada indicates that the basis of all of Arjuna's statements is his consideration about his own self-interest in the bodily concept of life. The list of relatives is given there. Matula Swashura Pautra Acharya Kapura Putras Tataya Vachapita Maha Matula Swashura Pautra Syala Sambandina Sutta. All friends, relatives, guru, grandfather, cousins, brothers, uncles, all Sambandina, all related to me. Etan Mahatamichan, I don't want to kill them. Natopi knows, even if they were to kill me, that would be better than having to kill them. He is ready to give up his life for the affection in terms of his body. He's ready to give up this body for the sake of the body and bodily relationship. We find this sometimes in romantic affairs, that, what is it, that one would rather give up his life for his, than lose the love of his girlfriend. There's an old Scottish poem, it's a Scottish poem, for Bonnie. Honey, Annie Laurie, I lay me down in D. For this beautiful girl, Annie Laurie, I would lie down and give up my life. Stupid. But this is the idea that people get in their mind. They get fixed in some conception of a relationship in terms of this body, and that becomes all important to them. Nothing else matters. This is called money. Calculation is what will make me happy. And they get so pretzeled up in their minds that they think, well, nothing will make me happy. Well, I'm more happy than to give up my life. And if I can't get this, I'd rather die. What happiness will you get from that? But people get so bewildered that we see sometimes they kill themselves, sometimes they kill their person that they love also. Right? If she's giving herself to someone else, then better to kill her and then kill myself. Then kill him in the process. All in terms of sense communication. Capable of everything. His calculation, whether to fight or not to fight, rests on this criterion. What enjoyment will we get? Kim Kogar, you can't If we live through this battle, what enjoyment will there be? Yesham arte kanchitam, no. Rajam bhogasukhanicham. When all of those for whom we might want to have this will be dead. Srila Prabhupada explained that part of the enjoyment is being able to show off your enjoyment. If you have a hot BMW, if you have a hot BMW, half the fun is driving it, but the other half is knowing that everybody else is seeing you driving it. So much advertising is done that way. Some guy has a new laptop and he's busy doing something, and his wife is looking at over his shoulder with admiration at his new Apple or whatever it is. So it's good to be able to do some computing, but it's much better to have your wife seeing how you're doing such fantastic computing on the wisely purchased, different and advanced and sexy Macintosh. There's an example that comes to mind from Roman history, but it's too gross, so I'm not going to say it. You can ask me. But the idea is that people want to enjoy by having others envy them or admire them or being able to show others, see how I'm enjoying. So Arjuna says to Krishna, in essence, what's the use of winning when all the people before whom we want to show our enjoyment will no longer be there? What will be the pleasure then? If they could live and envy us and we occupy the throne of us in that world, then it might be worthwhile. But when they're all dead, what enjoyment? And of course he's thinking of so many great lives will be sacrificed. The life of Bhishma Dev, his grandfather, Dronacharya, his teacher. This is all in terms of mind. After all, these great souls are going to be transferred either to a higher life in the heavenly planets, because anyone who dies on the battlefield as a Kshatriya attains the heavenly kingdom. Yes. What is that? The first chapter is automatically Sukhinam. The Kshatriyas are happy for the opportunity to fight, because even if they lose, they'll obey the heavenly planets. So Bhishma and Drona at the worst are going to attain the heavenly planets. Or like Bhishma Dev, as great devotee of Krishna, is going to go back to Godhead. So why should you be sorry? Why should you be sorry? Except in the bodily concept of Godhead. Krishna will later explain that 9-11-19-11-10, on this battlefield where so many men are going to lose their lives, no one is going to kill anyone and no one is going to be killed. Because the giant for the soul there's no birth and death. So no killing. Ubo to na the giant to nine anyone who thinks that he's killing someone or that someone is being killed doesn't know. No one is ever killed, nor does anyone kill anyone. Because we're not this body, we're the soul, we're the body. But Arjuna is not thinking in those terms, he's thinking in other concepts of life. And King Gauranga Govinda, Sri Bhagavatam has told us, Govinda, word. And Govinda is the source of pleasure for the cows, for the earth, for the senses. So Arjuna has a motive in using this word, Govinda. What pleasure are you going to get? O Govinda, O reservoir of pleasure. Where is the pleasure in this deal? Why do you want me to do something that's not going to give me pleasure? The whole calculation is in terms of his own pleasure. And he's not at all thinking, oh, Govinda, what will give you pleasure? Which is the real, pure thinking of the living being. What can I do that will give pleasure to Govinda? Because my business is that Govinda is the enjoyer, and I am forgiving him to Govinda. But everyone is thinking that Govinda is the source of enjoyment, and I can present my petition before Govinda. Oh, Govinda, this is what would give me enjoyment. You are the friend of everyone. You are the Suridam Sarvabhutama. You are the friend of all living beings. Dean Bhandu, you are the friend of the poor. Oh, Govinda, I'm poor. Some money would be appreciated. Oh, Govinda, I'm in need of a husband or a wife. That would be appreciated. Oh, Govinda, nobody respects me. Some followers would be appreciated. Dhanam, Janam, Sundari. Oh, Govinda, if you would give me liberation, that would be very, very good. I could merge into you and become one of you. Because anything here is frustrating, so that we become absolute. Everyone's thinking in terms of his own satisfaction. And this is our diseased condition. Because constitutionally, every one of us is not an enjoyer, but an entity meant to give enjoyment. We're simply constitutionally, just as the hand is not the enjoyer of the body, stomach is the enjoyer, and the hand is the cooperator. If the hand tries to turn that around and be the enjoyer itself, it simply doesn't work. There's no possibility of that being successful, because that's just not what the hand is. So it's simply not what we are, enjoyers. And therefore the project of being enjoyers in this material world is doomed. However we undertake the project, through money, through sex, through power, through philanthropy, good works, through piety, through being a good person, all for the sake of our own enjoyment. Some person who's more refined thinks that I will get more satisfaction by doing something for others. The target is still his own satisfaction. Or it's his extended satisfaction. I'm satisfying these other people who are in a relationship with me, I'll get satisfaction. But it's an extended circle, but still, it's in relationship to his body, in relationship to his own. extends, the more it may be appreciated. A person is simply after his own satisfaction, a selfish person who extends that to his family, is a good person, upstanding, responsible man. A person who extends that further to his the people in his community, in his city, is considered still better. Or if he sacrifices for his nation, then he's considered a great man. And if he sacrifices for humanity, or even these days, he sacrifices for the porpoises, or the baboons, endangered species, and he's considered a great saintly person. But it's still in terms of his own enjoyment. People are concerned about the earth and preserving the resources of the earth, keeping Durban or New York City green. Or I guess you can't keep New York City green. Somehow or other, keeping something green. Keeping national parks. Why? For their sense gratification. For their sense gratification. In America, they have the biggest organizations for preservation parks and wetlands and that are the hunters. Because their sense gratification will be threatened if these preserves and natural habitats are shrunken or driven out of existence. Where will we hunt? Although it seems that they're very much concerned about the environment, about the other species. Really, they just want the other species to survive so that they can shoot them. And finally, it is now a sense gratification. Yes. So Arjuna is in a similar consciousness, the consciousness of sense gratification. And his senses is not like Krishna's senses. Krishna has senses as we have senses. And our senses are then for serving his sarvabhadi in your tongue type of routine. Rishikesha said, Bhakti Rishikesha, this is called Bhakti, to purify our senses and use them to satisfy the senses of Krishna. And then our senses will automatically be satisfied. We don't have to think, well, I'll satisfy Krishna's senses so that my senses will be satisfied. So like sometimes people make a big offering of food to Krishna or a spiritual master with the idea that I'll enjoy. Sometimes we see them to make a huge feast for a spiritual master so that the spiritual master can get this much and they'll get this much. The calculation is what will give me enjoyment. Of course, that's a better strategy. That if I want to enjoy, then I'll enjoy more by giving enjoyment to Krishna. That's a fact. That's a fact. Rather than try to take enjoyment for myself, if I try to give enjoyment for Krishna, then I'll enjoy more. So even if I'm interested in my own enjoyment, this is a better strategy. That's a fact. By trying to enjoy for myself, I'll simply become entangled. I'll become a thief. And I'll get reactions of material nature. And if I try to give enjoyment to Krishna, actually I'll enjoy it. Transcendental. That's a fact. And if one goes still further, I may enjoy or not enjoy. Let Krishna enjoy. then one becomes a pure devotee. The Brother asks us, by thinking that we may enjoy or we may not enjoy, but Krishna should be happy. That's their consideration. No concern for what will make me happy. If it will make Krishna happy, then that's all. Prabhupada comments that Arjuna is thinking, why should I have to kill them? Better for Krishna to kill them. Again, Krishna should be the good leader, or Krishna should be my order supplier. Krishna, you do it. I don't want to do it. But actually, Krishna will show later that I've already done it. I've already killed all these men. My plan is already there. You may want them to live, but I already have a plan. They're all going to die. And there's a plan for you also. Nimitta Mantra, Pabasamasat. You just become instrumental in carrying out my design. You may wish to excuse them out of sympathy, out of compassion, but my desire is that because they've offended my devotee, they all have to die. Because Krishna doesn't tolerate offenses against himself, he can tolerate, but not offenses against his devotees. Krishna is the Bhakta Vatsala. He's very much affectionate to his devotees. And if someone offends a devotee, then just like the Kauravas offended Draupadi, so there's no question in excusing them. Even if she were to excuse them, which she is not prepared to do, the Lord would not excuse them. So, therefore, they signed in their own death warrants. Jayastu Pandiputra Yasya Pakshapina. Despite all the power on the side of Dhritarashtra, all the great warriors, all the phalanxes of soldiers, victory is on the side of the Pandavas. On whose side Krishna is. Chatrashir Vijayo Bhuktir Vivanitir Matir. Wherever there's Krishna and wherever there's Vivanitir Matir, there's always victory. Nitir Matir. And there's all morality also. Arjuna is giving so many moral arguments. But these are mundane arguments, and morality is actually not on his side. In spite of the appearance that he's being compassionate, that he's being selfless, that he's being so considerate about the welfare of others, although it seems that he's taking the highest moral position, morality is with Krishna. Whatever Krishna desires constitutes the highest moral principle. And being a mundane, pious man, or a mundane moralist, a mundane philanthropist, a mundane good guy, is not what life is meant for. We meet people, what's your goal in life? My goal in life is to be a good person. Or my idea of religion is to be a good person. But they don't know what good is. They're thinking good is to be truthful, good is to be self-sacrificing, good is to be generous, good is to be kind, good is to be good. That's true. That's goodness, material. But Harava Bhaktasya Katova, Without Krishna consciousness, even good is bad. E balue madhe sattvam. Materially, good or bad is all bad. Because disconnected from Krishna, disconnected from the truth, disconnected from reality, disconnected from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then disconnected, whether it's apparently good or apparently bad, it's all bad. The very beautiful hand or the very ugly hand cut off from the body. So that's a very good hand lying on the street. It's neither good nor bad, it's useless. And connected to the body, even the hand that doesn't look very good, it's connected. I'll spend thousands of dollars on my old withered hand as long as it's connected to the body, and when it's disconnected, useless. Good or bad, when we're connected to Krishna, then we become all good. And disconnected, totally useless. So our business is to connect with Krishna, serve Krishna, satisfy the senses of Krishna. Then our life is good. Some questions. Who was in Durga yesterday? Okay. Just a couple. So we can talk about the same thing. For some years I have regularly been coming to South Africa, only just on some rare occasion, because I didn't have any work to do. Just as nice here as the Maldives. Only see you as well. No real work to do. But now the BBT is starting a division of BBT Africa, especially to focus on publishing and distributing books here in all of Africa, not just South Africa, but the whole continent. There are about 2,000 languages in Africa. Half a billion people. The Bible has been translated into about 300 languages. So there's, and the, yeah, so there's great scope for publishing and distributing transcendental literature. Of course, we have our books in English, in French, in Spanish. All of which are spoken in Africa. And we can distribute our books in these languages, and we can increase the distribution in these languages. There's plenty of scope, tremendous scope, for increasing the distribution of books in South Africa, in English, in Western Africa. Friendships found in many countries. And after English, what's the number one language in Africa? Do you know? Number one language after English. Why?
Number two language is Arabic. 50% of the people in Africa speak Arabic. All of North Africa, Egypt, Morocco, Angola, and so on. And there's Arabic. So if we're going to spread our books in every direction, then we need to distribute our books in Arabic also. And that's, of course, a challenging part of the agenda. But it certainly will be successful. And we'll find that there are many interested people, many interested readers, who will be attracted to the message of Krishna, the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, among the Arabic speakers also, just as there are among the Chinese speakers, the Russian speakers, the speakers of Farsi, so among the Arabic speakers also, certainly there will be great interest. So we'll have to make that part of our project also to reach the Arabic speakers in the Northern country. Meanwhile, below that portion, there are so many local languages, of which some are very prominent: Kiswahili, Zulu, Xhosa, and others are spoken by millions of people. Luganda, many languages. And someone will say, well, not everybody educated reads English. But if you go to the bookstores, you see books in local languages also. You see newspapers published in the local languages. And although people in the cities may generally be educated in English and read English, in the rural areas, the local languages may be more prominent. So we need to devise strategies for publishing appropriate literature in the local languages. That means not only publishing, but distributing also. No use printing just to keep in the warehouse. Publishing, distributing, and when we publish and distribute, then people will become Krishna conscious. People will become attracted. And then we need to think now how to engage these people in Krishna's service. In each country, in each area, in each community, how will people best be engaged? How do we best engage the students? How do we best engage the rural people? How do we best engage people in the city? How do we best engage these people, those people? How can people come forward? We're trying to wake people up when people start shaking their heads and awakening. And we have to think now, how do I bring this person forward? So in this way, book distribution implies not only translating, not only printing, not only distributing, but how people become devotees of Krishna, how people engage in Krishna's service, use their senses for the satisfaction of Krishna's senses, how people make their life successful, how people bring other people to devotional service. How the ocean of bliss increases as desired by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is the agenda, the work, the mission of PDT Africa, to publish and distribute books in many languages, in great quantities, and strategically, in ways that will bring about the greatest effect, the greatest benefit for the people who receive the books also. There's lots of scope for everyone to participate, either by translating books. Some people have already come forward in Nairobi, translation office set up, and a very translators, lately the universities and publishers has taken charge. Devotee has taken charge of evaluating different translations and editing different translations of books in Swahili. And once you know the system, so Luganda, even if you don't know it, you can engage people who do know it to evaluate translations or correct translations. So he's working very seriously to develop a proper translation of the editorial department there in Nairobi. Others have come forward to help finance the work of PDT, to help publish books. There's lots of scope for that because for a lot of these languages, people are not very wealthy, they're poor. People don't have much money. So the books can be made affordable when those who have money contribute for publishing, so that the books can be distributed very generously. That's another way people can contribute. People can distribute the books. Certainly anyone who's looking for adventure, there's lots of adventure out there in the frontiers of distribution. It used to be French, in the French days, they had the French farm in Egypt. Does it still exist? I don't know. One doesn't hear about it anymore. But in previous times, the French farm in Egypt was there. And it was quite a romantic thing for a young man in Paris to join the farm in Egypt and travel out to some place in Africa and do whatever the farm in Egypt understood. Of course, they'd be very dashing in the uniform, so they would come back to Paris and tell about all their adventures, exotic countries, and novels would be written about them. So, anyway, that's all my mind. But it's a perverted reflection of the life of the distributors who should know this book. Actually, have transcendental adventures by benefiting people. The French farm region, after all, was there so that the French could steal from the local people. That's actually the history of Africa, is how the Europeans and others, Indians, have been stealing from the local people, how to exploit the local resources for their own enjoyment. How to claim it as their property. We can grab this part, or we can grab that part. Okay, you take that part, and I'm grabbing that part. Scrambling to control and enjoy and exploit. Some of the French language and Florence Romance was really just meant for that. They were romantic thieves. But the devotees are actually the well-wishers of Lokana Dakana. They're not looking to steal or exploit or suppress, but rather to uplift and benefit everyone. So for these purposes, these undertakings, initiative, BBT, we're looking forward to seeing a lot happen because it's been so for this huge field, huge numbers of people, lots of languages, lots of opportunity, lots to become. So we're looking forward to it. Actually, yes, the wonderful field service, wonderful opportunities. Trying to please Sri Prabhupada, the previous sessions of publishing and distributing huge numbers of books. Even to start